SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two at the races. Just talked to Jerry O'Dwyer about his breakthrough filly, needs supervision. Andy Serling joins us from New York, from chilly New York, certainly up here. Andy, just ridiculous. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Well, I'm a little upset. Bradley Cooper snubbed. Not right.
Yeah, it really is a tragedy. I hope he's okay.
Well.
I'm getting over the Oscars. You know, it's hard because they come out when the Pegasus draws so shortly thereafter. It's hard to handle all the excitement in one morning. You know, so you sort of have to be temperate. You know, you get a little excited about the Oscars, but you don't want to get too wildly worked up. I wonder how Rome is allowed to be nominated for Best Picture and Best Foreign Film.
That it's funny you say that.
Left a little room for. There was a for like Burning or something. I've actually seen all the foreign movies that have been released. I've not seen the one about Victor, which is coming out next week. Capernaum might be the best one of all of them. Shoplifters is very good.
Yeah, we were going. It's funny you say that. We were going to last night.
Shoplifters is great.
We were going to rent it. It was. It can be on demand. $15. And we saw Hate U Give instead. Well, she's rounding into form.
I want to know why Leave No Trace wasn't nominated for any Oscars.
Well, there's
too good a movie.
There's too many. It's gotten. It's hard.
Movies like Vice shouldn't be nominated. Vice sucked.
I've not heard anything good. Yeah,
Sam Rockwell should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor, and I like Sam Rockwell.
There's a few we've got to see.
I thought Vice sucked. Boring. Anyway.
Well,
what's going on in racing? Are we going to talk about books?
Which books?
I don't know. I just read a good book. Normal People by Sally Rooney. It's very good.
All right, because people hang. You know what? People.
I don't think it's out yet. But her first book, Conversation with Friends, is also very good.
Now, people love your book recommendations. The one last year
recommend
was
Sally Rooney's books.
Nice. Casey, by the way, Casey just weighed in. He also thought Vice was lacking.
That's not a very good movie.
Yeah.
The best book last year was Asymmetry, by the way.
Asymmetry, which you talked about.
Yes, I love that movie. Sitting right next to me, that's why I thought of it. I can't believe Vice was nominated. It's ridiculous. It's not even very good. Whatever. Anyway.
I want you to riff for a minute before we talk some specific racing events. I want you to recount your evening attire appreciation.
I loved Evening Attire. I don't know. He was a really good horse. Should have been $130 when he won the Discovery.
Was that crazy? Yeah, we talked about it with Pat just earlier.
Joey B?
We talked about this.
A pretty memorable horse, so you either sort of know it or don't.
Where was it? We discussed this with Pat just a little bit ago.
He beat Street Cry.
That's right. That's right. He said. He said it was a tight, and it was a short field. But he said it was a tough spot. And
he had run lousy. Well, it was Andy off. I bet him in every one of his starts, the 3-year-old for Discovery. Seriously, even on the turf. I think he ran him on the turf the time before that.
He did.
I always liked him. I think when he either broke his maiden or finished second in a maiden race at Saratoga, 7 furlongs, who was he in a photo with? I think he might have won.
Hmm. I've got everything here.
A very popular horse for people to make fun of. It was actually a very good horse, but he got horrendous rides by a rider that some people happen to like. A lot of people of us don't, but was a very good rider. But he got a number of poor rides in particularly important races. But he also finished second in the Preakness.
I'm drawing a blank.
All you have to do is know second in 2001 Preakness. So the answer to that. And you should know who won it.
E. Dubai.
E. Dubai, Triple Crown winning horse. Never ran a Triple Crown race.
I guess that's true. Only the Haskell is what I'm thinking of behind Point Given.
Actually, he was second in the Travers behind Point Given.
There you go. Touchtone too was in that Travers in that okay. Haskell. I don't remember. I
can't tell you then.
Well, the people are listening. They'd like to know.
That's, I think most people know. I think everybody knows. I think you're the only one that doesn't know. Dollar Bill.
Ugh, a horse that I've absolutely is in the mental trash bin for me. A horse that I just.
He wasn't a big fan of your show, so
I'm not a fan. I never was. Dollar Bill.
Yeah, pretty good horse.
Dollar, yeah. I'm sorry. It's pretty funny. You are right though about being a horse that
I'm always right, Steve.
A lot of people don't like.
It's my thing.
He beat him in the.
I bet Kurt beat $100 that he would finish ahead of. I think it was one of the ridiculous horses that was in the duel. Might have been Song and a Prayer. No, maybe it's Song and a Prayer or somebody. And Pat Day eased him, and so he finished last, the Derby. He eased him after running into the back of a horse in the backstretch, and he eased him. Easiest bet of all time.
That's funny.
Anyway, evening attire? I don't know. I loved evening attire. I would say, from a personal standpoint, when he'd be funny side in the Saratoga Breeders' Cup, when he's Alan Roth is calling, by the way. Should I interrupt your show to talk to Alan? You know what? You just found that Alan does not listen to your show. Do you feel bad about that? So, I would say the Saratoga Breeders' Cup, when he beat Funny Side, was really great for me. $17, he should have paid about $7. I loved him. I thought he was great. He had that great winter too. He ran some really big races in the winter. Got like a 110 buyer winning like the Steinier, one of those races, or the Aqueduct, or one of those, winning in the snow. And then he sort of went the wrong way a little bit, but then he got his act back together for the summer, for the fall, and he ran that big race to win.
That's
the,
right,
Jockey Club. And then that was 2002, right? So he beat Funny Side in 2004. So he just kept rolling along. He was six when he beat Funny Side, right?
Yep.
Must remember when he ran down a Breeze, who might have won if Gander didn't get loose. You know, throw the jockey, sort of get in his way. I just thought he was a very cool horse. I'm just a big fan.
The longevity.
Everybody liked the horses. Like it was longevity, but longevity at a very high level too. You know? He really was a good horse. And Joe Grant owned him. Who doesn't like Joe Grant?
Exactly.
And Pat trained him. And who doesn't like Pat? So there you go. It was just a feel-good story all around.
You know what?
No, and I'm not kidding, actually. I mean, I know usually I'm joking,
of course.
But I'm not.
No, I know you're not.
I really like both of them a lot, and I love that horse. He was a wonderful horse. He was all the good things about horses. And he was a neat-looking horse, too, right? So there you go. You got that, too.
He got whiter and whiter as he aged.
Even jerks like me, like he's the kind of horse that everybody liked. Even jerks like me, I always liked him. I had affinity for him as a 2-year-old, so he was just one of these horses that I always was a fan of.
I remind you, one thing I was reminded of his career that I had completely forgotten too was the DQ in the Clark when he was taken down.
That's right. Who did he foul?
Quest.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Nick, right?
Yeah.
Quest was Nick, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I completely forgot.
That was legit, though.
Pat doesn't feel that way. He says, in fact, he says that Castellano was absolutely leaning on from the inside, and that's why a tire got out a little bit. And Pat, he said, what are they even looking at? He didn't even know. He said, even when they showed the head on, he said, what are they looking at? He was a little miffed about this, actually. I can tell.
Maybe I'd have to rewatch it. Yeah. I thought I remembered it not being. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Right. In the slop. The names that he faced, it's really a fun decade of handicap horses, you know, from Brass Hat to Medaglia d'Oro to you name it, Awfully Wild, Suave. When he ran on the turf, Shakespeare and Host. Yeah. All kinds of fun horses.
Shakespeare?
Yep.
No.
Yep. He ran against
the Red Elmer. He ran the turf again after his one bad race as a three-year-old?
Twice. He ran in the... he absolutely did.
Because Shakespeare was a three-year-old in 2004, because people don't realize with Shakespeare that he was in the Kitten's Joy and Artie Schiller crop, but he got hurt after a win at Gulfstream early in the year and didn't come back for a long time. But, I mean, it wasn't, if he had been sound, it would have been Kitten's Joy, Artie Schiller, and Shakespeare, as he proved, overcoming injury after injury, how good he was. That was amazing, three turf horses. He ran against Shakespeare later? They must have tried on the turf, like, some point late in his career, because Shakespeare probably like 06 he ran against Shakespeare, right?
05. What's interesting too, you know, he ran one very good turf race in the Knickerbocker, and when Host beat him in 04.
John Kimmel trained Host, I think. Really?
Yeah.
I feel like there were two horses named Host, one a U.S. and one European. One South American or something. There was really he ran second.
Yeah, he ran. He ran second to some good horses. He got nosed by. Do you remember the race against Seattle Fitz in the Aqueduct Handicap? That would have been 04. Got beat a nose.
Seattle Fitz beat the greatest horse ever to look through a bridle. Dynevor.
Dynevor, absolutely.
Dynevor in the Brooklyn. Got a huge figure, too. A very fast race. Seattle Fitz beat him, huh? No, okay. Kieran. West Point, right? Seattle Fitz, West Point? Fitz. Maybe a yellow collar.
I'm trying to
maybe not.
Think
maybe not.
Look at the jacket.
Kieran, maybe not. Kieran trained him. Who else beat him?
Thunder Blitz, a personal favorite. Joe Arsino.
Thunder Blitz was Sonic, right?
Yes. Yep. Thunder Blitz filled out the super in the.
Is he coming back in the Pegasus, Thunder Blitz?
He might be running the turf race. He might be in the horse number 12 in the turf race.
Still a couple slots in there.
Yeah,
I'm just putting together my Pegasus 24 ticket. So I try.
Are they going through with that bet? Are they? Is that on the wagering menu?
How would I know? I don't think there's 12 in each race. Are there?
That was funny. We're going to talk. Sean Bridgemahan's going to join us later, and Sean had a big run with Evening Attire, Sean's going to be.
He overcame Sean for quite a while. Don't
I'll tell him he said that. I will. He'll laugh. He's got Tom's de Tot in the Pegasus.
You know, I like Tom's de Tot as a horse. I'd love to see him do well. It's a tough one for him, but he really looked good at Saratoga a couple of years ago before he broke his leg. Nice to see him back for Al.
We'll catch up on a bunch of horses with Bridgman a little bit.
Pretty rare trip for Al to be going down to Gulfstream. The last time he had a horse at Gulfstream.
That's an interesting question. We'll find out soon enough when the PPs are they drawing all their cards tomorrow? Today? Are they drawing all the cards?
I don't know. I assume. I don't know. Who knows with them? I don't know. It's tough to run a 6-day week and then have 1 day off, draw that race, then run 5 days. Oh, rough.
It's a lot, and they're packing the races in too. 11 races yesterday. 11
Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure it'll be well more than that on Saturday. So actually, first post on Saturday is not that early, right? It's like 11:30 or something, right? So how many can they run? Can they run 14? I'm not sure of that. Maybe 13. I don't know.
It'll be more than enough, no matter what.
Well, you have got to get your Clips Award.
On the 12th. Yeah, the 12th and never. Andy, a couple of notes that we should slip in here through the frivolity. The weekend... the weekend results. You got some thoughts about the? I had Chris Engelhart yesterday. That was his first graded stake win. Andy, how great was that? Solid.
I knew he was trading the horse. I mean, it was sort of Peter Miller, right? Not knocking Chris. I love Chris, but
well, he had him for three weeks.
Oh, he did. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering how long he had him for. That's Chris's first graded stakes win.
Isn't that amazing? I couldn't believe it. I was surprised.
That is.
It's because all of his good horses were New York breds that
I understand. I guess it's
kind of
as yeah, but people tend to have. Oh, that's awesome. I wish I had known that. I did not know that. That's cool. Oh, yeah, he ran. I was kind of mad at myself. I looked at that afterwards and thought I probably could have been smarter about that horse than I was. He ran. He ran well.
That was a good price.
That one. Yeah, he was okay. No, high 90s, I think.
Yeah, 97, I think.
Yeah. It wasn't the most memorable weekend of racing. You might find that hard to believe in the middle of January. So the Interborough that was scratched from Monday's card seems so long ago, it was just yesterday, is running, coming in on Friday. It's actually a pretty good race. Yeah. 9 on Friday, 10 on Saturday. All done. Finished with all of them.
Well, we can even touch on a few. Before that, though, we got to acknowledge again, too, Michelle Nevin is doing just bang-up work. And Forever Liesel with a modest upset in that ladies on Sunday.
She was favored.
No, she was second choice. But
she was favored
doubles. Was she really?
Not
That's
a modest
interesting.
Upset. It wasn't a modest upset.
Well, Sarah Street was favored.
It wasn't even a modest upset. 3-2. She was co-favored, whatever. Modest upset would have to be at least 5-1, wouldn't you say? I don't think
that's
the one shots are modest upsets.
Well, I was trying to get Erin with Crimson Frost. I was trying to get her.
Well, Crimson Frost would have been third anyway, but I'm not sure why Junior was so insistent on going inside. And he might think he couldn't have got outside, but it didn't seem like he kept hitting her righty. But anyway, she didn't matter. She wasn't finishing better than third anyway. She just would have been a little bit closer. Michelle, listen, I think Michelle's tremendous. I don't think she is. I know she is. If you follow the New York circuit year-round, Michelle Nevin is one of those people that you know just wins. She's very, very good. She's a very good trainer.
Yep.
I'm a big fan. Not sure she's coming on the show, though. She's not one of the more loquacious members of the trading community.
She's a little media shy. That's true. That's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
But
probably not calling you a lot to see what she can come on.
2 weekends in a row, Michelle Nevin wins stakes. Last week it was Honor Up, who she's really done great
job
with.
Yeah, done a great job with him. You know, to be fair, I think that Mott kind of, you know, sometimes horses, listen, sometimes, I don't think Mott was fooled by Honor Up. I think Mott's initial instinct with Honor Up was correct. I think maybe he got a little bit fooled by some of his performances that I thought were better than he might have. And that's why he ended up running on the turf. Because people will forget that Mott ran him first time as a three-year-old in the Lexington. And that's not a very big Bill Mott-type move, which always signaled to me, you know, very much like Channelmaker, who he had shown a lot of confidence in. And one of the reasons that I was on Channelmaker early was because Mott was running him, shipping him around, running grade ones. And, you know, if Mott has that kind of confidence in a horse, it's unlikely that it's going to be ill-founded. And for him to have run runner-up in the Lexington indicated to me that he must have really been training well. And he was in a position to win that race top of the stretch, and Jose Ortiz eased him. Now, obviously, Jose felt something went wrong. He's obviously not easing horses in any races, particularly stakes, but any race, you know, unless he felt something went wrong. But clearly the horse was okay. And then the horse got caught up in, he ran a sloppy track that was intensely speed favoring at Belmont. And then he got caught chasing a wicked pace, being the first mover into it in another race. And then Bill sort of tried on the turf. And unfortunately, he ran well enough on the turf. He got a very easy trip and beat a mediocre horse. And then he actually got a less than terrific trip and ran okay up in Saratoga. I think they got a little confused by him. But I think when Michelle got him and Michelle sort of put him back in the races he really belonged in the dirt races, he's flourished. And I'm not suggesting that Michelle has done a great job with Honor Up, because she has. And I think she always does a great job. But I think that Mott probably looks at that one and says to himself, I knew this was a good horse, you know? Like, it's just one of those things that just was a little bit unlucky in the races he ran for Mott.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
But I don't think he was fooled. I think that his initial inclination, I mean, you know, I kid a lot about Audible because he's not nearly as good as people think he is, but he's still a very good horse. And I realized that the Audible that went to Florida was a different one that ran New York, but Audible did run down a pretty stubborn Honor Up when he broke his maiden. So it's not as though Honor Up hadn't shown the potential to be a good horse as a two-year-old.
No, and some of it's, you know, some of it's patience, and you don't know what owner, you know, owner pressures, people sometimes.
I think 7 furlongs, sort of that distance, not, you know, 6 to 7, maybe a flat mile, maybe, but maybe he's a little better going a little shorter, as it turns out. You know what I mean? Maybe that's more of his niche.
Well,
listen, sometimes it's just stake. The right. Listen, maybe he matured a little bit too.
Yep, it all.
But no
all
denying that Michelle also did a good job with him too. But I think she would probably agree that it wasn't like he didn't underperform for Mott as much as he really did have legitimate excuses.
We'll see what she does, where she heads next with him. And,
I mean, I guess you could look at the Tom Fool. Maybe she does. Take a shot and see where he belongs. Because she'd probably prefer to run him at 7, and there aren't too many York Bridge stakes at 7, you know.
What about, you know, the General George?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She could certainly look at that. Who's running there? That's soon.
It's a couple of weeks.
You're heading down.
3 weeks. No, I'll be in New Orleans.
Really?
Yes.
They having like a special celebration for you down there?
Just the Risen Star and the Rachel Alexandra and the rest of that card. No, we got NHC coming up the 8th, 9th, 10th in Vegas. Then we'll go to New Orleans. And then Tina and I, we're actually taking a trip across from New Orleans to Savannah that next week while she's on vacation.
Oh, you're off that week?
I'm going to take a couple of days, I think. Yeah,
oh,
I think
good.
I'm going to take
a Tuesday off for sure.
No, but there actually might be a Tuesday. It might be a Tuesday, Wednesday.
Thank God. Thank God.
Let's look ahead to this week, because the cancellation from Monday immediately paid dividends, because you got a particularly nice card on Friday, including that Interborough, and then the Jazzle is on Saturday. But Thursday, Friday,
Pegasus.
Saturday cards.
It's our Pegasus.
It's
you know, yeah, it matches up the last two winners, I believe, of the Jazzle. I think Back by the Moon and the overwhelming favorite,
Sonny Ridge.
18 and 17 winners. Sonny Ridge looks like a kick in the pants, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks tough.
Yeah, it was tough.
And he's even got pace to
run. He runs his race, he'll win. Period. I mean, it's as simple as that. If he runs his race, he runs the race.
In a lot of ways, this may be a little bit. He's kind of an evening attire light.
No, he's not.
Little bit.
No, he's not.
He runs in the same kinds of races.
I'm not besmirching evening attire's memory the day after he died. Stay out of that one.
Let's say this. He's the New Jersey bred evening attire.
He's a good horse. I'm not going to compare him to evening attire. He's a good horse. It's ridiculous.
The Discovery. He runs in the Discovery, the Queens County, the Stymie. These are all races.
Even if Hire won major graded stakes at Saratoga and at Belmont, okay? I'm not going to compare this horse to Evening Attire. It's preposterous. I'm not going to knock him because he's a good horse. So
yes,
regardless.
He is.
Can we move on to something saner?
You want to talk about the Interborough, which Linda Rice feels like she's got a pair in here, including Sauer and...
Sauer.
And
Sauer.
Also...
It's pronounced Sauer.
Sauer. And how about Aaron Yagoda with Honor Way in here now? Interesting.
Here's the question. Which one will Linda scratch? The horses to beat in there are Year of Love and Dawn of the Destroyer. And the question in that race is whether or not Dawn of the Destroyer runs back to her last race. If Dawn of the Destroyer runs back to her last race, that field is in trouble. If Year of Love runs back to the Gallant Bloom, she's also going to be very tough. They're way the two horses to beat. I think Eddie Barker's horse has improved, Yerky Blue Princess, but she has to prove she's as effective at 7 furlongs. After that, up for grabs.
Well, that's a nice feature. It
is a good race. It was a great race last year. And people won't remember last year what a terrific race was. It's funny that last year, because I know that Danny won it with that Divinus Gray, and I want to say that Bill Mott ran second with an improving horse in there, but I think it was a Judmont horse, actually, now that I think about it. I forget the horse's name. And he's got an interesting horse off a big improved effort last time out in the race as well this year. What's the horse's name? The horse inside of Your Love. I guess I could move my arm, get my PP. They are right here.
Miss Mimosa.
Miss Mimosa.
Yeah. You know, let's also note, Andy, a couple of fun things. There's the state-bred fillies that are going to go a mile right before the Interborough, and this is worth looking at. I suppose Out of Orbit figures prominent, and there's also No Hain, No Gain. But how about the nice story, Aqueduct Mike Tanuzzo, with the handful of horses that are running under his name.
Always happy to see Mikey do well.
Right? VIP Nation.
Yeah. I don't think she's going to win that race, but I always like to see Mike do well.
That's a good group. A very solid allowance group, state-bred allowance, fillies.
Second I'm going to go.
You are?
Yeah.
All right.
I think we're sort of done.
All right.
Haven't I done
my half
hour
all day?
Here?
Almost, yeah.
Doctor
yes,
all,
just...
Steve Allday's on next?
Yes, he is.
I wouldn't want to keep him waiting.
All right. Well, as always, appreciate it, and...
The pleasure is all mine, Steve.
Racing resumes Thursday.
I'm going to call Alan back.
Call Alan back. Ask him why he wasn't listening.
Maybe he can get advertised on the show. I'll see you later. No.
See you later. Andy Serling. Dr. Allday is going to join us next. And Horse Health brought to you by Luberson and Reborn. And actually, I think it's the first edition of Horse Health Today. It's nice. If you haven't looked ahead yet, nice card. Friday, all big 8-9 horse fields, very nice. On Friday and Saturday, I just glanced at, there's actually a maiden, state bred maiden group going 5.5 that caught my eye. There was somebody in here that was interesting. There was a breeding Barry Schwartz, who has sent horses to Horacio de Paz and has got a curling colt out of Barry's nice Bridgehampton. I'm going to keep an eye on this one. Amundsen is the name. And here's a horse by Mr. Sekiguchi. How about that? Wow. Five Night Freddy for Dylan Clark. Well, there's a few interesting reading notes in here. There's a raison d'etat, gelding, breaking boundary. A little bit of everything going on in this. This is the fifth race on Saturday. But the Amundsen from DePaz and Barry Schwartz really caught my eye. Find out that might be something nice. So tune in for that. Let's take a break, and Dr. Allday joins us next.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hyas.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
All day, all night, all day, all night, all day, all night, all night. What the fuck?
We're back. About 15, let's call it, to the top of the hour, and Dr. Stephen Allday joins us for the first time this year. Horse Health Today, brought to you by Luberson and Reborn. And even though I wished you a happy new year off air, I'll wish you a happy new year on air.
Happy new year. Thanks, Steve.
Good to talk and good to get you going for the 2019 broadcast year. And, you know, I've always got, you know, the ripped from today's headlines questions for you. And the obvious question right now, and we've talked about it during the winters before, but what are the dangers, Steve, and what are the concerns when you get nights like this and sub-zero temperatures? What precautions and what problems does it cause for horses, whether we're talking pregnancies and young horses and any other element on the track or not? It was 10 below here last night.
Yeah, no, I know. It was ridiculous. My son is up in your vicinity right now playing some music both in Saratoga, and he's been down the city this week playing too. But that's neither here nor there, but I know he's up there, and I know the temperature he said yesterday was like -8. But the point is, you know, the biggest problem that I have encountered is obviously, you know, water intake is really, really paramount. And the reason why is because a lot of times, because the source of the water is frozen or will freeze over, and horses are somewhat reluctant to really take in a lot of really cold water, so it's really imperative that you try to supply a water source that is comfortable for them for intake, so they can get enough hydration and maintain enough hydration for gastrointestinal health or overall health, things like this. And you'll notice if you... I'm kind of old school. I put heated water buckets in my stalls. You know, the barn's not heated. And horses really tolerate the temperature fairly well. But the one thing that they can't do is they can't break through the ice, so to speak. So you'll notice if you go around there and check farms, a lot of guys will check ice on water troughs and watering devices for their horses. And typically it's, you know, I recommend you have some sort of heat device for them so that they can essentially, you know, climatize or at least warm the water up so a horse will take in and get enough actual so they can maintain their hydration. Because without it, they basically will have problems with their gastrointestinal tract, being colicking, impactions, a number of other issues that essentially... You know, one thing you can't live without. You can't live without water, and that's we're the same way. All mammalian or living species that way, and the cold really has a big effect on that. Obviously, surprisingly enough, it doesn't really affect their feet very much. It doesn't affect their legs very much. You'll notice that things get tightened down. Their legs look really good. They tend to get around pretty good because the design of the foot essentially is really, really effectively built to withstand seriously cold temperatures. A lot of really in-depth research has been done by Chris Paul and a lot of very, very good veterinarians and people that do footwork to determine that cold weather and the horse get along quite well as far as their feet are concerned. Obviously, if... You've got a horse that's getting turned out and they don't have enough protection for the cold. Obviously, blanketing is necessary. I don't necessarily, I'm a big fan of blanketing. If you don't have to do it, they'll grow enough coat because actually they adapt to it really well and do fine in it. But unless you have, let's say if you're in an area that has a lot of wind and you don't have a break, or let's say run-in sheds, things like this that give them a break from the wind, essentially, things like a hood and or blanket are necessary for horses to get turned out. You don't necessarily see it very much or hardly at all on mares if you drive around Kentucky, which I was working this morning. But it is something you have to be concerned about if you have a backyard horse or if you have a horse that you stable overnight, this sort of thing. Typically, they will keep blankets on the stallions for a couple of reasons. Obviously, they want them to look good, so if people come to visit and look at them. I was over at Ashford the other day, and I noticed that Justify and American Pharoah and Declaration of War and Bunnings all had nice autographed, you know, blankets. And with their and they were really, really well covered. And of course, their coats are, you know, I mean, they were immaculately groomed and kept. But essentially, broodmares are horses that turned out, and even the yearlings don't get much in the way of blanking unless they're brought up. And they're turned out. Most of them are turned out without just with their coat on. I mean, their normal growth that they put up. If it's extreme temperatures like we had this past weekend, essentially they won't turn them out until the sun's out and they get a good radiant heat from the sun. That wasn't really possible on Saturday or, well, let's say Sunday. But on yesterday, Monday, the sun came out, even though it was very cold here, like in the teens, and it was almost zero in the morning. Like, according to my car, it was minus one. You won't see, the farms won't really turn these horses out until the sun comes up. And then the one thing you got to worry about, too, obviously, with the snow and ice accumulation is, if it's a horse that's got shoes on and they're turned out, they can fall off ice underneath, you know, the shoe. And what happens is it's essentially like having a pair of ice skates on for a horse, and it can sustain an injury. They can fracture pasterns or slip, fall, this sort of thing. So it's another thing you got to be wary of is if their feet get packed with ice and or snow, it can become a, you know, they will actually be standing like up on a peg of ice underneath their the foot itself, and that's got to be dealt with accordingly as well. So that's another reason not necessarily to turn them out if it's extremely cold weather and there's a lot of ice and or snow in the fields already, because that will just build up ice in their feet, and you take a risk of a horse basically falling, slipping, or sustaining injury potentially from the ice underneath their feet. So those are just some things off the top of my head that I've experienced over the years, and I'm sure if we sit and think about it a lot, we come up with plenty of others as well.
You know, we're seeing, and I was going to ask you about blanketing, so that, I'm glad you touched on that. You know, we're obviously seeing the start of the foaling season, Steve, and you know, the babies are dropping and we're getting the adorable pictures. Any danger, particular danger here for broodmares? Will they naturally avoid dropping babies when it's, you know, when it's precipitously cold?
Not necessarily. I mean, I saw one of those born just the other night. At a real, real cold night when we were down in single digits, somebody posted a picture, that sort of thing. But it's not so much for the mare. Essentially, you have to be careful about the foal. If the mare were to drop a foal out in really, really icy, snowy, inclement weather, and this foal was going to tend to right away, it can freeze. Then they can have frostbite. They can have appendages like their ears, things like this, to be affected. A number of different things can occur. So, or they can, you know, suffer from hypothermia. So, I mean, these are things that you want to be certainly on top of, and you don't want to leave something that you've invested and put that much time and effort into. So, essentially, most of these mares will be brought up and monitored overnight indoors with cameras and or detection devices to determine when they're going to foal. They won't just leave them straight out. Now, one will surprise you, but most of these mares are monitored fairly close if they are in the proximity of their potential foal mates. Depending on, you know, obviously they're going to check their cover dates for, like, when they were determined to be pregnant, this sort of thing. But this is a time you want to be super careful, and one doesn't slip by you, because you could lose a foal. And, you know, you lose a large investment if things like this happen, especially if it's by potentially a really, really hot sire, good sire, or let's say a horse that you put a lot of time and effort and money in, the, you know, for an older mare, or let's say a big stud fee, whatever.
Well, the other, you know, the other portion of it that we always talk about every year, Steve, I always ask you in the middle of summer when it's super hot and in the middle of winter when it's cold about feeding changes and the adjustments that need to be made, particularly on the racetrack, for the dietary demands to help a horse stay warm.
Great question. And we've said before, most athletes will notice that the same amount of feed that you'll give your horse and the same quantity and or quality of feed you give in the summertime essentially will require a little bit uptake in energy, because there's still a demand, a fairly high demand, for maintaining core temperature with extra calories. So if you give the same amount of calories that you calculated out for the summer, you may have to give another 10, 15, 20% more in order to maintain core heat, because you don't have very lot of heat. Just in the mornings, like super cold mornings, like this morning, yesterday, and then heard that horse will actually stand there shiver, even on the racetrack. And I noticed it nothing for years. And a lot of really, really astute outfits automatically make that correction and that increase in their diet to make up for maintenance of core temperature in order to keep a condition score at a certain level. So you basically have what you give normally, and then you have to add another, let's say a third, let's say 20% to a third more, depending on the metabolism and how much each individual might require in order to maintain a condition score so they can maintain core temp. And obviously two things that we notice pretty regularly in the wintertime is that a lot of the amino acids, sulfur-containing amino acids in particular, go to maintaining hair and the growth of hair in order to have an insulated coat. And you'll notice that the hooves do not grow as much during the wintertime. They do grow more hair. In the summertime, they don't grow as much hair, but they grow a lot more foot and a lot more rapidly. So you'll notice an adjustment on shoeing periods where you might go 32, 35 days in the winter, where you go 29, 28, 27 days in the summer, because they grow a lot faster. So, there's adjustments you got to make all the way around according to the weather goes.
Yeah, and I have heard you talk about that balance and the way in which the feeding, I suppose the fat, the horses burn, is their system similar? I mean, do they burn fat to stay warm?
Well, they will, yes. Stored fat, because if they do not have enough calories in their normal diet, they have to supply the shivering and the activity and everything you have on top of it has a bigger draw on the amount of stored energy that they have in their body. And then one of the ways they do is they store it as fat. Once they burn up all the glycogen that's been stored in muscle, things like this, then they got to have it from somewhere. So they'll start taking it from the fat reserves. And then you'll notice that you pull up a blanket one day and say, wow, this horse's been training good and this sort of thing, but he looks like he lost some weight. Well, because you didn't necessarily increase the overall caloric intake to maintain the core temp and the amount of energy burn that would require in order to keep them, maintain normal homeostasis or normal physiological functions in the body, body temp, body functions, things like this. So the demand gets a little higher as far as calories are concerned. So you got to make up that difference is what it comes down to, Steve.
And on since we're talking on the racetrack in particular with this, what's your feeling about, like, the heat lamps and things to bring temperatures up a little bit in the barns? Are horses better off just dealing with the ambient temperature, or is there a positive? We hear so often that they're cold weather creatures in general, that they'd rather be cold than warm.
Well, I don't know if they're going to be cold, but they don't mind cool. I'll tell you that right now. Most horses thrive in a cold temperature. You can keep the hair off of them just by increasing lights. I mean, a lot of outfits will go ahead and just increase the photo period, and they won't necessarily grow as much hair, but then a horse won't be able to maintain as much body heat, so a light will also, or a heat lamp would be necessary to help maintain core temp, but then you're still going to have to increase, the feed intake. So there's a give and take with everything. A little bit cooler doesn't really bother me as much. In fact, I see a lot less sick horses, a lot less problems. The only problem you do is if you keep the barn closed up and you have a virus or some sort of respiratory infection going around, it will spread rather rapidly because, got the entire area closed off. So it's more, that's why you see a lot of these closed-in areas in certain barns, in certain different, racing jurisdictions, or let's say winter quarters, where if you get an outbreak of herpes or an outbreak of EVA or this sort of thing, it spreads quickly because these horses are all breathing the same and cycling the same air. So good ventilation is still part of a good, healthy environment within reason, so you don't make them, you know, freeze them to where you've got to use up all their heat, too. So you've got to use good judgment. But a good ventilation is always a good thing for a horse. Having them in a completely closed environment, yeah, it may be comfortable for them, but it's necessarily not the best thing for as far as disease is concerned. So I'm a stickler about ventilation. It's a necessary evil sometimes in really, really cold weather, but it's still necessary.
That's a great point. I mean, sealing off the barn with the idea that, you know, you're going to try to keep it as warm as possible, but at the same time, you're increasing the susceptibility potentially to, you know, to circulatory kinds of, you know, airborne issues. That's a great point. Well, Steve, I do have another topic we're going to save for next week, and that is something that we've talked about for years and is always fascinating, and it's the ridgeling discussion. It just so happens, you know, Evening Attire's passing and his ridgeling issue and ultimately being gelded came up with Pat. He talked about Robbie Davis cluing him in right after the first start, but it's come up lately. In fact, I also got an email from Dave and Christy Smith about their horse that Hector Palma has in California, and we'll talk about this. We'll do a little bit of a ridgeling discussion, and even our horse, Kid Chocolate, we think is having a little impingement, a little bit of discomfort from the missing orb. So we'll do a little ridgeling discussion when we talk next week.
Sounds great. Take care.
Always terrific, Dr. Stephen Allday. Horse Health Today, brought to you by Luberson and Reborn. Visit Luberson.com. And anything you need to know, the AllDayWay.com, where Steve and Alex Hassinger answer your questions about your pleasure horse, sport horse, recreational horse, race horse, whatever it is. You got access to Steve and Alex, and they'll help you. Any topic, just invaluable. Resource, the alldayway.com, and of course the products, all the hyaluronic acid products that started with Luberson and have grown since then. Dr. Stephen Allday, always a pleasure and a incredible resource for us and for you. We'll take a top of the hour break. 60 to come. Sean Bridgemahan is going to visit, and we'll talk to Sean about the riding Evening Attire and that great early success that Sean had with him, and got Sean not his first grade one, but his first grade one in a route, the Jockey Club Gold Cup 2002. And then we'll hit the shed row with Sean, the horses that he's riding for Jinx Fires, Brad Cox, and Neil Howard, that have all come up here since the beginning of the year. Gray Attempt, Desert Ride, the filly last week with Neil, and Owendale, that won that allowance, that nice allowance race the other day at Fairgrounds. And Gray Attempt, of course, is going to try for another stake win around two turns, this time in the Smarty Jones. Sean Bridgemahan next. Jeremy Plonk going to follow. And we'll also listen in to the draw for the Pegasus. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, Express Bet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey! Hang up the phone! You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing?
Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.